second reading comes from Revelations chapter 22. This is the last chapter in Revelations, the last chapter in the Bible. So we're reading about a part of a vision that John, who was really a prophet, he was exiled to the island of Patmos, probably for his preaching of the gospel. And so he's writing this in exile and showing us a vision of the end of time, of God's redemption of the world. So this is part of that vision. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and God's servants will worship God. They will see God's face, and God's name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And God said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true, for the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent God's angel to show God's servants what must soon take place." This is holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The smell of birch trees right after a rainfall is one of my favorite smells. In Iceland, where I grew up, 1.5% of the country is birch trees. It used to be a lot more, but now it's 1.5%. When we were there on vacation this summer, I picked some leaves off of the birch trees and pressed them in my journal, and I brought them home with me. And even now, when I take the leaves, I've taken the leaves out, they're dry now, there's a little bit of the oil and the print of the leaves still in my journal. And so occasionally I'll go back and just smell it, just to get the smell of those birch leaves. Trees are a remarkable species. They give untold gifts to humans. Not only do they literally feed us through their fruits, nuts, and the things that they provide, they also give us psychological, emotional, spiritual gifts. A group of Japanese scientists have analyzed the physiological effects of trees on human beings, and they've noticed how walking in a forest reduces the stress hormone cortisol and reduces the heart rate and blood pressure. Research in Australia gave similar results, showing that neighborhoods with leafy trees in particular lower incidence of psychological distress and just better overall health. Now, most of us probably learned in grade school about photosynthesis, how trees absorb and remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and then in turn release oxygen. In 1 year, an acre of mature trees absorbs the same amount of CO2 produced when you drive your car 26,000 miles. To put it in a little bit of a different way, an acre of mature trees can provide enough oxygen for 18 people. We actually need trees in order to breathe, in order to have clean air. There's a forest biologist whose name is Suzanne Simmerd, and she has been studying how trees communicate with each other through an underground network. Through their roots, there's a kind of fungi called mycorrhizal fungi, which connects the roots of neighboring trees and they operate like fiber optic cables, communicating to one another through the communicating to neighboring trees. They provide information about what's happening, if there's an illness, a disease, if there's a tree in need of nutrients. They exchange information through this, through the help of this fungus and the roots. Susan Seimert says that when one seedling is under stress, if it's small or shaded or nutrient poor, another relative plant will send more carbon to that seedling and enhance its capacity to absorb nutrients. In other words, with the help of this fungi, trees can recognize whether seedlings in their neighborhood are struggling and will give carbon to those other trees, these struggling trees. In other words, trees are giving life to each other, supporting each other. That's remarkable. Now, in our sermon series this month, we've been talking about our kinship with non-human life. We've talked about how in our Western settler colonial worldview, a great deal of harm has been done to us and we've done to others. Within this worldview, humans are perceived to be separate from creation and above creation. We've talked about how this worldview is linked with white supremacy, and we see humans not only separate from nature, but the constructed white person is above all other humans, and this pervasive worldview in our country has been at the root of so much harm that we've done to one another, to people of color, to nature. Over the last weeks, we've talked about how Jesus challenges the notion of kinship as defined only by blood relationship. He expanded kinship as something that we share with other humans across socially constructed divisions. He breaks open that notion and he says we are connected by doing God's will, by living in God's way, in God's justice. We've also talked about how in the Bible, the land and the earth is personified and worthy of Sabbath. The land is something, an entity that is worthy of rest, just like humans. We've talked about the witness of many indigenous cultures that teach us about a worldview that is very different from the Western one, a worldview in which plants and animals, air, trees, water are also our kin. And we want, in this season of stewardship, to be listening to these prophetic voices and shifting our worldview. I find it remarkable that our ancestors in the faith, who were much more connected to land, to nature, than we are, they envisioned trees as primary vehicles of God's creative and redemptive work in the world. Do you know, have you ever thought about how a tree begins the story in the Bible, and a tree ends the story in the Bible? There is a tree of life in the beginning of Genesis, and at the end, in Revelation, is the tree of life again. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega in the Greek alphabet. Whenever there is a first and a last in the Bible, that is a saying, hey, pay attention. Pay attention, this is important. So if we think about John, who's the author of Revelations, his vision of the final redemption of creation, the tree of life is at the center of everything. It's nurtured by the river of life. Notice that in this vision of final redemption, it is nature that is the vehicle of God's power and redemption for all the peoples of the world. There is no one society, there's no human group of people who are at the center. It is nature that is at the center of the redemptive work. This worldview here in Revelation is profoundly non-Western. The leaves on the tree of life are what provide healing for all of the nations. Nature is going to bring healing to us. And of course, what follows is that we must love and respect and care for nature in mutuality. But the arrogance and the anthropocentrism of the Western worldview has not taught us about the healing of nature, and or this deep need for connection and care with the non-human world. So we have lost. The question is for us, though, can we see this? Can we begin to see this? Can we shift our worldview? Can we live as if trees are kin to us and part of God's healing love in the world? We have to learn to see. We have to learn to love trees. We have to learn to hug trees gently. But we have to learn to even speak to them and to hear what God is revealing to us through trees. Stephen Jay Gould says, "We will not fight to save what we have not learned to love." Sometimes I think we resist communing with nature because we are too afraid of the pain of connection. Love is painful. And when I think of the disappearance of species, of plants, of animals, I am filled with sorrow. Why would I want to connect with that which may be lost? That's too much pain. This is a hard thing for us, and I think somehow deep inside we resist connecting because we're afraid of the pain of loss. We know that love will save us, but we also know that love will bring sorrow to us. But here's the thing, I actually think that creation needs our sorrow. I think it needs human love, and therefore it needs human sorrow, because if we're not willing to feel the sorrow of loss, we will never change. And so I think we have to step into this work of love, of connecting, feeling the sorrow, and then find ways alongside each other to work for the life of trees, for the life of creation. And I think we have to do that together. We have to bear the sorrow together. We have to work together in that work of love. So the question is for us today, again, as it often is what can we do? What can we do to fight today for the life of trees? I think there are things we can do. Did you know that this past summer, Ethiopians planted 350 million trees in one day? 350 million trees in one day this past July. This beat the previous record of 50 million trees planted in India in 2016 in one day. There are reforestation projects happening all over the world. And actually, the Earth Day Network has called for planting 7.8 billion trees next year on the anniversary of Earth Day. So in other words, one tree for every living person. We can be a part of this effort. We can plant trees. We can join up with local efforts for planting trees and protecting clean air, like with groups like Tree Philly or Philly Thrive, which I know Pax will be talking with us a little bit about today. We can also do things like honor Indigenous Peoples Day, give thanks for the Indigenous wisdom and culture and traditions and learn from them. Columbus Day is not something that people, and especially Christians, should celebrate, in my opinion. The worldview of Columbus is anathema to the Christian faith. We can talk more about that later. But I encourage us to find a way to honor Indigenous Peoples Day this weekend. I know there are a lot of sales on Columbus Day. I know some of us work in sales. I know some of us work in retail. We should find ways to honor Indigenous Peoples Day and resist celebrating Columbus Day. We can talk about ways to do that in different ways. We can do other things. We can learn to love trees by traveling, choosing to travel less by air. This has been a struggle for me. The place where I grew up, you can only really get there by air. But I think it's important for me, for people like me who have access to air travel. Let's think about that. Air travel is one of the biggest pollutants, one of the biggest, I mean, there's many. But it's steadily rising, and I think there are ways that we can choose to travel less and to make that commitment. We can also learn the name of a tree in our neighborhood or in our backyard, if you have a backyard. Ask what that tree needs to be able to thrive. And because I think in learning to love a particular tree, we might just find our hearts expanding to start loving other trees and all other kinds of species. Healing leaves. Leaves are cleaning our air. They're removing toxins from the atmosphere. Trees are sharing nutrients with each other underground, loving each other. Trees shade us from excessive heat. How can we, in turn, give thanks, share our love and care and protection of trees? What is our commitment and our role? So I'd like us today to meditate, take a few moments to meditate on these questions, and we're going to take a few minutes to commune with trees right now. And you might be skeptical, thinking this is some weird ritual at this church that we're doing. If you're skeptical, ask yourself, why am I skeptical? Chances are it's because we're captivated by the Western worldview, which prioritizes thinking about things over embodied experience, right? So check your skepticism. If you're skeptical, you think it's weird, just check it and try to get over it. Engage with your body and your senses, because that is God's gift to us. Trees are God's gift to us. So I'm going to invite you to take a few moments. We're going to hear some music from a powerful group of singers. We're going to walk around the sanctuary now and hear as the music is playing. I want to invite you can touch the leaves of a plant that you can see. You can take a leaf off of the table and take that with you. Touch it. And as you're walking around and engaging, ask yourself, what is my role? What can we do together? And how will I allow my worldview to shift this week, to see my kinship with non-human life and then join the liberative work of God in the world? So take a few moments. Let's meditate.